Some are worried that more broadly a strained relationship between community groups and authorities is hindering attempts to prevent violent extremism. It's emerged that a teenager charged with planning to attack an Anzac Day ceremony had been involved in a de-radicalisation programme. The 16-year-old from Western Sydney Today pleaded not guilty to planning or preparing to commit a terrorist attack. Lexi Metherall reports.
There are several dozen people involved in de-radicalisation programmes across Australia. In the past, they tended to be older men, but the Professor of Global Islamic Politics at Deakin University, Greg Barton, says now they're mostly teenagers.
We've seen a predominance of people in their 20s and increasingly teenagers being approached largely by Islamic State over these last 2 years. The numbers are enormous.
Today, a Western Sydney teenager pleaded not guilty to planning or preparing to commit a terrorist attack, with police alleging he was trying to procure a gun to attack an Anzac Day ceremony. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, won't comment on the case, except to reassure Australians that security agencies are on alert and to urge parents to take note.
And if your teenager appears to be taking an unusual interest in matters of this kind, then that is something that you should share with the relevant authorities in the city or the state where you live.
Over the last year, police had been intensively involved with the teenager to try to prevent him from engaging with Islamic State. Clark Jones is the co-director of the Australian Intervention Support Hub at the Australian National University. He says people usually enter de-radicalisation programs after coming to the attention of police.
That person is assessed by a panel. A range of people from different departments get together and assess that person. The person is not in the room. I mean, it's done outside, away from that person. Then, based on that assessment, they're sent to various service providers and they're meant to carry out the intervention.
Dr. Jones is concerned that it's a coercive program.
What we're tending to do, because it's police-led programs, these young people are told these are the people you're going to see. And sometimes those relationships don't work.
But Professor Barton says at the moment, de-radicalisation programs have to be led by police.
Just because of the reality of the times we find ourselves in and the need of the hour, ideally over the next year or two, we'll see more and more community involvement and the programs will broaden out and they will particularly engage with those who have been stopped from travelling or have come to attention for other reasons.
And I suppose in order to have that increased community involvement that you speak of, you have to have the trust of the community. How would you rate the relationship between governments and the community at the moment?
Look, the most positive way of describing is that it's very varied. You have some very good relations often at the local government level, to a significant extent at the state government level, depending on which agencies you're talking about. It's difficult for the federal government. They don't necessarily have a lot of direct points of contact.
I would suggest at the moment that those relationships are not there. I'd suggest that there is a lot of division between community groups and between government, and it is in a bad way.
But the director of the Australian Multicultural Foundation, Hester Lal, disagrees. He says a change in rhetoric from the federal government has helped.
I think the whole rhetoric and language has changed for the better.
When did it change?
Look, I think it has been an evolving thing, and certainly under this new leadership it has changed.
The director of the Australian Multicultural Foundation, Hester Lal, ending Lexi Metherall's report.